Warning, the radio broadcast you're about to hear was made by men and for men. It may at times seem a little rough around the edges, brash, and certainly not canonically approved by papal authority, but its content may indeed challenge you to become the man, father, or husband God has called you to be. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to The Obligation, where we discuss topics in faith and in life to help you become the man God called you to be. Let's get started.
Welcome to a special week of The Obligation. My name is Jason Murphy, and I'm joined, as always, with my friend, compatriot, and partner in crime, John Eads, along with Chief Shepherd of the Mecklenburg Area Catholic Schools, Superintendent Dr. Greg Monroe. Welcome, gentlemen. Hope everybody's doing well today.
Gentlemen, I appreciate everything you're doing.
What an opportunity we have today to feature our very first guest on the show, who was made superintendent here in Charlotte on June 1st of 2020. Following his previous role as educator, principal, and most recently as blended learning coordinator in the Diocese of Omaha, Nebraska, with 71 schools and 20,000 students. That's a lot of students. Good morning, Dr. Monroe, and thanks for joining us today. Could you tell us a little bit about your path becoming a superintendent of MACS and the role of blended coordinator and how that size of Omaha school system lines up with Charlotte?
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Murphy, and it's great to be on the show and with both of you all today. Just so blessed to be here in the diocese. My wonderful wife and I moved from Omaha last spring in the midst of COVID and have found a very warm reception here and a real intentionality behind the spirituality and religious practices here in the diocese. It's, again, a wonderful fruit of providence to actually be here. You know, when you look back, and hindsight's 2020, but all the little steps that led us, you know, through the grace of God to be here as a part of this diocese is just spectacular. I'm very fortunate in that having gone to a couple of Catholic colleges and trying to figure out God's path for me, I've been a teacher, I've been a youth minister, even a cowboy for a short while out in Southern Colorado, working on a ranch out there. So
we're glad to have you. You know, we talk a lot on the show about our roles as fathers and guardians of the family. We relate very closely with the example of St. Joseph. You know, the year 2021 was designated the year of St. Joseph by Pope Francis on December 8th, and as well as the Diocese of Charlotte by Bishop Jugis on January 1st of 2020, and that runs through May 1st of 2021. We also have this year's men's conference on March 20th, which is the day after Feast of St. Joseph. So in my opinion, God has really emphasized to all of us the importance of this great Feast of St. Joseph, you know, this role model, foster father, you know, of the Redeemer and model for us all as fathers and husbands. You know, St. Joseph took on this mission fully and didn't hold back. So Dr. Monroe, as a Catholic father, husband, and man, and superintendent of Catholic schools, how do you relate, you know, that role of St. Joseph in your position?
Well, I think he's the ultimate role model for us fathers. And as a father who's also an educator, when we look at, you know, Psalm 127, where it says, unless the Lord builds a house, those who build it labor in vain. And how appropriate that Christ grew up in a household of a builder, somebody who actively self-sacrificed in order to provide for his family. And it's really telling for me as a father to see that he has no words or lines in the Bible, that everything that he did, it wasn't about himself, right? It was that self-sacrificial love that day in and day out, even if he was tired and worn out from the hard labor that he partook to provide, he was always there as a witness, and both in the way he treated his wife, treated Mary, and in the way that he stayed close to Christ so that his son, who followed in his footsteps, would also come to follow that example. And, you know, St. Joseph really should be a model for all of us fathers because of that contemplative steadiness. And in a chaotic world where there are so many distractions, looking to somebody who was a model for temperance and humility and active courage. You know, I will say, I'm obviously a big fan of Thomas Aquinas, and he would always say that courage can be exercised by a man's pursuit of some good. And that was followed up by Piper in his Four Cardinal Virtues book. And he would always say a man, to be courageous, he must know which is what is good, what is worth fighting for, and that which is worth dying for, and must be brave for the sake of the good. So a true father who wants to educate his children in the truth must be courageous in a world that unfortunately calls some to complacency.
Well, this topic is very interesting because Jason and I both send our kids to Catholic schools here in the diocese. And I often reflect on the role that the school plays in the formation of faith in our children. You come from vast experience here of how this is done well and not well. As parents, should the school system, how big of a role should that play in the faith formation of our kids? Or does that primarily happen in our houses and in our church?
So it's a partnership. So the church, canonically in and of itself, it's an ecclesial mission for the church to help parents educate, right? Parents are the primary educators, both in faith and temporal things. So that education, first and foremost, starts in the bedrock of the home. Right? It's a domestic church. So the church sees its mission as being a part of that journey and recognizing that with all of the tasks and all the things that families must juggle, that they can be a part of that raising students in the good, the true, and the beautiful. So it takes a partnership. It takes a recognition that regardless of the good things our schools do, it doesn't matter how often we talk about the faith. It doesn't matter how often our cross-curriculars integrate with each other. All of that will be for naught if it's not reinforced in the home life, in the modeling of the father and the mother, and in the leadership of the father taking an active and proactive role in the education of their kids. So we couldn't do well what we espouse to do in our mission to lead souls closer to Christ, if on the other side, parents weren't working actively with us.
It's insightful stuff. I was telling my wife yesterday, in this year of COVID, the Catholic school system should have charged us double. I mean, they've done such an amazing job this year, specifically navigating this really difficult season of life for all of us. And we've just been so pleased, Doctor, with the effort of the principals and the teachers. And it's shown real commitment. And I just wanted you to know how appreciative we are as parents to the work that's done in our school specifically this year.
I appreciate that. Like I mentioned, this is a true reflection of the communion that the church seeks, right? It's parents helping us and recognizing that in order to keep our schools open, to push back against the world trying to keep us closed, that we need to work in complete communion with our parents. Our educators had to reorient on the whole purpose and reason why we're here, which is to serve our students. And as an institution of faith, we must come back together in communion in person. We have to, because in order to fully grow and be alive in the spirit, we needed to be able to pray together in community. So at the very beginning, it was a non-negotiable that we would find a way to come back together in person. But it took heavy lifting from all of the educators, the faith leaders, and then working with the families. Okay, this is important. How are we going to make it happen? So almost 7.5 months in, we'd say we've definitely led in this area. There's been a lot of courage in place, and we feel really good in that everything we're doing is ultimately for the good of those students. So thank you for your support. It's been great.
Yeah. You know, it's one of these things. I know there's a lot of pressure on the Catholic school from colleges to high schools to middle schools, the pressures of this secular world on what is right and what is fair and accept everything and everyone. What how are you thinking about the role of the Catholic school system moving forward? I just think of like a Notre Dame doctor or all these like classic institutions that have so much pressure on them because of the world that we all live in. How do you think about that? I mean, this is a big, tall task you have.
Well, we know people are in different places in their faith journey. And we know people have different agendas and different perspectives and biases. And at the end of the day, our Catholic schools are schools for all students. You know, we say the universal church is a church for all people. We're called to evangelize and bring everybody into our schools. But as a part of that, we need to have clear expectations of what we're about and what our mission is, right? The tenet and central focus of our schools is our Catholic identity. If we move away from that, we prioritize other things above that Catholic identity piece, then we're no longer living out our mission. And ultimately, we're not being in best service to our stakeholders, to our families, our students. So, in all things, we should pursue excellence because we're called to imitate Christ, who was perfect. We can't reach perfection, but we seek that. And so all those things that fall under our Catholic identity are fine arts, our academics, our service projects, our athletics, all of those things are a good, but the highest good that they should be in service to is a tentpole of Catholic identity. So when you talk about all the pressures from the outside, that's to be expected. And in fact, it's one of those things that we're called to do is to push back on those pressures in order to help people reprioritize. Okay, well, these may be goods, but what is a higher good? And how do we focus on reaching that? And how do we help our students figure out the best pathway for them to pursue that good in order to reach salvation? So you're right. It's not an easy task. There's a lot of pressure, which is why we always have to double down and come back to, okay, well, why are we here? And what are we ultimately in service to? And that's Christ and a Christ-centered education.
Yeah, it's vital. I personally went through 12 years Catholic education, all-boy Catholic high school down in Louisiana. Probably, like many things, as we get older, we don't appreciate that until we look back and realize what it was. But, I grew up in one of those kind of families where the faith wasn't a priority. And I guess now, you know, as a man, you know, who's taking his faith serious as best he can each day, you know, I look back and I guess I'll tend to run for the hills if I see a ripple in what I, you know, may, you know, believe that, you know, is supposed to be smooth sailing waters, just because I look at what I went through. But what I went through was mostly due to a family that didn't, take it as serious as it should have been. So it's sort of that trickle down, you know. And of course, you know, we can do and say and teach all we can at the school system, whether even in a public school system, you know, as hard as teachers work, if it's not, even from an educational point of view, even in the home, if it's not reinforced and supported, then it's just going to fall as soon as the kids go back to school, because it doesn't have a foundation to be built on.
That gives me great, Jason, that gives me like a lot of hope though, because we know so many families have fallen away or haven't prioritized the faith. And the fact that they're sending their kids to Catholic schools, it might not show everything that we want every single day in that school, but at least we know they're getting Christ in some capacity. And I think that it's a different way to look at it versus the perfection. But that gives me a lot of hope and courage that some of these teachers show up to share Christ with kids and they're not getting it home. So how do you think about that, doctor? Is that something you talk about with teachers when you're in these schools, your principals? Is that coming up at all?
So it is. And, you know, one thing we're reorienting on, and one of the fruits of COVID has allowed us, as I mentioned, to re-examine why we're here. And each individual within the school system is called by necessity to be a witness of Christ's love for his church and students that we're blessed to serve. So it doesn't matter what subject they teach. It doesn't matter their role within the school. When we talk about communion, working together as a witness, You know, each of those subjects has a potential. We don't know what conversations or what relationships will lay the foundations or will ultimately bear fruit in the future faith life of that student. So each and every teacher is called to be a witness, not just in the perfection and pursuit of academics, but in that faith as well. So you're absolutely right. I will say, though, we do see that many kids follow in the footsteps in their religious practices, in the footsteps of their parents, and most especially their fathers. I don't know if you all have talked about this on the show in the past, but the Swiss government back in 94 did a study published in 2000, where interestingly, if a father does not go to church at all, let's say just the wife is a faithful, devout Catholic, it doesn't matter how faithful his wife is, only one child in 50 is going to become a regular worshiper. So if a father does go regularly, regardless of the practices of the mother, between 2/3 and 3/4 of their children will become churchgoers, which is staggering. The fathers have such an impact on the faith life of their children. And obviously the ultimate goal is both the father taking care of the mother and the mother working with the father to model Christ's love to the children and witness that. But it strikes home the point that we as educators, we do as best we can and we work with the tools we have and we work with the families, but it has to be a true partnership and communion with our parents in order to fully realize and help our students to flourish.
Fascinating, isn't it, Jay? That is just talk about the importance of our role in the faith formation of our children's. I mean, that is just staggering. Doctor, I want you to put your sales hat on for a second, okay? And you speak to all the parents out there that are not sending their kids to Catholic schools, but they do go to Catholic church. So they might send their kids to another private school. They might send their kids to another public school. I want you to give me your best sales pitch for 2021, why they should send their kids to Catholic schools.
Right. So as parents, we're called to educate our students, not just in the spiritual, but the temporal as well. And when you bring your children to our schools, we will work with you to help sure your students are succeeding and excelling, no matter what God's calling them to do in both the academics and the spiritual, the extracurricular as well, but foundationally the spiritual and the academics. And so again, we're a school for all, we work in partnership. And at the end of the day, we really see a symbiotic relationship between the mission of our schools and the mission of the church, which is ultimately to make saints and to help our students find Christ no matter where they go in life. So they will find success both in the world, but more importantly, they'll be close to Christ. And so that's why we say send your kids to our schools. We will take good care of them, but we'll also work with you because we don't bring in just students. We bring in whole families.
That's great words, Doctor. That's what it's all about, guys out there listening. You heard it here. So important.
It's a really interesting discussion, though, because, we have a lot of friends right now, Doctor, that, with the public school system the way it is and them not going back to school, they're feeling more pressure than ever before to find a home for their children. And they're navigating that. Should we send them to Catholic school? Should we send them to Country Day or Providence Day? Or, and then all of a sudden you're talking about a serious check. And so there's just this, I don't know. COVID's had impact in so many different ways on so many different organizations, some great, some terrible. I have to imagine this has had an incredible, a positive impact on the Catholic school system in terms of enrollment and engagement of families. Is that true?
It has. I mean, we've had a number of families who have been on the fence, just like you said, trying to figure out, what is the best path to navigate? And they've seen many of the good things. They've heard the good stories of what's going on. And so that has pushed some people towards our schools. Our enrollment is up in Mecklenburg area by about 4%. And we're so blessed in many other places where Catholic schools are closing that all of our schools are full. And so that's a testament to the good things that we're doing, to the courage that we're putting out there to continue to educate in the midst of uncertainty. But it's also a recognition and realization that there's a trust there that we as Catholic schools have to live up to. So we have to ensure that we're holding to the tenets of the church, that we're doing everything we can to take good care of the students that we are in service to. So, you know, you mentioned a big check. One of our goals is, how do we look at accessibility? You know, how do we ensure that all people are able to afford a Catholic education? That's not the place in all places in the United States. So we have an obligation to adhere to the tenets of the magisterium and have clear expectations as to what that means. But on the practical side, help parents recognize, okay, this is an investment. Some people say it's a sacrifice, but we like to say this is an investment. As a part of your tithing, you're giving to the schools. You know, that's not your whole tithe. You should be giving to your parish, obviously, as well. But as a part of that tithe, you're investing in the schools because you believe in the mission of what we're trying to do together with the parents.
It's a it's a great pro-life statement too, because mentioning the check, the Catholic school system does offer one of the best discounts for multiple children. And we certainly take advantage of that with five enrolled. I think it's like Black Friday sales. The more you spend, the more you save. So we're definitely, taking advantage of the discount. So it's great that's there. Cause we've heard from other schools, other private schools do not offer, the type of discount that the Catholic Church offers in that case of, wanting to get, students in Catholic student, for the Catholic education, of course, but also, the way the faith is, it lends itself as well to being such a pro-life, organization. So I think that's excellent.
It's one of the things, again, I mentioned to me before we got on the air, how I'm from a large family and my wife is from a large family. And that's a number one issue, right? We're pro-life through and through, because again, these are future parishioners, future people in the pews, the future of the church. So that is great. Like I said, I'm trying to catch up to you, Jason, whatever the good Lord wills, but we're a few behind you.
We'll wait on the final lap for you for a while.
So. Yeah. Well, you've been so gracious with your time. You've been all over the country now. You have tons of different experiences. You get to leave our audience today with one bit of fatherly advice. What would that one bit of fatherly advice be?
So again, I mentioned courage earlier, and the courage to self-sacrifice for the good of our children is, it can't be understated. Masculinity at its essence, I believe, is actively being in service, not to your own self, not to your own independence, but to others. And so the witness that our good fathers are providing to their children is something that has a lasting impact. Those little things when you come home and you're tired after a long day of work, the ability to still smile, show your spouse how much you care, the ability to be there and present for your children, it's so important. And this, we see those families in our school systems where those children really do benefit from that relationship with their father. We know there are always exceptions where a spouse has died or you have a single father, but just know that in those times, we're continuing to pray for you, and there are great networks of other men there to help support you. And at the end of the day, the fathers play a primary role in teaching their children the truth about reality. And a part of that truth is that you are made in God's image and likeness, and that you are made for great things.
I'm excited. I mean, I am so thrilled you're here, man. What a great example that you are. And I know the school system is going to thrive because of your leadership. And we just wanted to thank you for one, taking the time, and two, for this conversation's made me feel good about where my, another reason why we send our kids to Catholic school. And we appreciate that you're here. Jason, why don't you close us in prayer? And that'd be great.
All right. I was going to close us with the Memorare to St. Joseph. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember, O most pure spouse of the Virgin Mary, my great protector, St. Joseph, that no one had ever had recourse to your protection or implored your aid without obtaining relief. Confiding, therefore, in your goodness, I come before you. Do not turn down my petitions, foster father of the Redeemer, but graciously receive them. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you, Doctor.
That was great. John Jason, keep up the good work. Keep fighting the good fight.
Yes, sir.
All right, you too.